Hey everyone, welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us for the hour. I'm Amy Fuller. All eyes are on what? The clock, because daylight savings time starts again. Big time change this weekend. And, you know, it's strange how 1 hour can really mess up our sleep cycles and our physiological cycles. We're going to talk to Dr. John Huber from Mainstream Mental Health about this and why, even though we do these time changes twice a year, why they affect us so much. And along with that, this study about how sleeping in on the weekends may not repay sleep debt. Do you think you can just, burn the candle at both ends all week and then make up for it on the weekend? Studies say it's not necessarily so. So we'll talk to Dr. Huber about that. Also, we've been hearing from Dr. Huber for months about this new ketamine treatment that's helping people with PTSD, trying to get off smoking. There's a new nasal spray for depression that goes along with that. And there's some news about the FDA approval. So we're going to hear from him in just a few minutes. Also, Michael Hart of the Heart of America show. He's just the funnest guy. Christian conservative, cranky, he says, if you look at his website promises. And he talks about all the political stuff of the day. And then he's got insight from his viewers and listeners, too. He's going to be in to talk about the political headlines, including this one thing that's hugely trending. The House has passed this anti-hate resolution. 23 GOP members voting against it after various comments from, it's from Ilhan Omar, the freshman Muslim congresswoman from Minnesota. Apparently, she can't even go a few days without saying something that seems to others that's very anti-Semitic. A lot of people have a problem with it, and even the Democrats are kind of scurrying around saying, what is going on here? How are we going to handle this freshman woman? So, even today, if you're watching the Friday version of this, she's talking about Meghan McCain. She couldn't stop, even before the headline came out of this story, she's talking more about Meghan McCain. And then, Eric Bolling, formerly of Fox News. Democrats have zero tolerance for racist comments, xenophobic comments, etc. But when a Muslim congresswoman has a history of anti-Semitic comments for 7 years, she's a victim. And a lot of people say it's because she's a woman. She's a minority, and she's sort of a minority in her faith, and that because of this, it's not politically correct to talk about her. So, and then on all the heels of all this, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has sent out some things to her supporters asking for money to help them defend themselves from criticism. It's a lot of backward stuff. We'll talk to Michael Hart coming up. Also, what's going on in the news, President Trump spent part of Friday in Alabama touring the disaster area where those deadly tornadoes hit Sunday. 23 killed, all within a very small radius. Some 10 from the same family. The tragedy is just so profound. Lee County, Alabama, the hardest hit. But forecasters say another round of severe weather could be headed that way. As the president headed for Alabama, departing the White House for this trip, he did stop and take questions from the press pool on the anti-hate resolution that we just spoke about and on the southern border.
On immigration and what's going on in Congress now, are you certain that they will not be able to override your veto?
Well, I think that it's going very well. The border, we're doing a great job. We're apprehending record numbers of people. 75,000 over the last short period of time. That's a lot of work, and with a wall, we wouldn't have to do it. No, I think we're doing fine in Congress. They understand it's an emergency.
How did Cohen's decision to testify influence your decision to walk through negotiations in North Korea, in Hanoi, over North Korea?
Well, time will tell, but I have a feeling that our relationship with North Korea, Kim Jong-un and myself, Chairman Kim, I think it's a very good one. I think it remains good. I would be surprised in a negative way if he did anything that was not per our understanding. But we'll see what happens. Look, when I came in, under the Obama administration, North Korea was a disaster. You were going to war, folks, whether you know it or not. You were going to war. There was no talking. There was testing. We didn't have our people back.
Welcome back to America Trends. We are so pleased to have you with us for the hour here on the U2 America TV network, nationwide in America, streaming and on Roku. also on Biz Talk Radio, wherever you can get it. YTAClub.com also online. You can just find that anywhere. We are going to talk about some of the politically trending headlines of the day with our friend Michael Hart of the Heart of America show. He is deep in the heart of Alabama, where all things good are. The author of Unknown America, and we've had, you know, International Women's Day, so he's got some interesting things about the first woman, this, that, the first, you know, there's a first woman who sort of ran the country you may not be aware of. So what Michael has in this book are some anecdotes and stories, truth, not fake news. Stuff that you didn't learn in school at all, or perhaps learned incorrectly. And Michael, welcome back to America Trends.
It's great to be with you, Amy. How are you?
Great. We love seeing you and looking at your patriotic American flag. So you're in Alabama. You've had some storms in recent days and some coming. President Trump spent Friday in parts of Lee County looking at what happened just within a small radius. 23 people dying, 10 from the mm-hmm. same family. You can't, it's so tragic. How far are you from Lee County, Michael?
We are roughly about 90 minutes away.
It's not and far.
And unfortunately for us here in the Deep South, and Alabama in particular, we get a lot of this kind of activity. In about 2011, I was on the air when I was on the terrestrial signal for about 18, 19 hours when we lost 254 Alabamians over the course of 30 tornadoes that wiped out the top third of the state.
And, wait, you lost that many lives, 254?
254 in one day.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's definitely tragic. We don't get these storms all the time. You know, we get about 15, 18 tornadoes a year. But unfortunately, yeah. In the state of Alabama, they're not the big twisters like you see on TV out in Kansas with Toto. These things pop out of the sky and they're gone in 30, 40 seconds in some cases. And so they can be pretty devastating because they're very unpredictable.
Sure. And adjacent to Tornado Alley, as they call it. I'm from Ohio and lived in Illinois. And right. Those places, you expect it. But still, when you see it, it really is a phenomenon, and you can look and see it in the distance and think, this is spectacular. But nature is spectacular and deadly. So, you know, we just have so much to pray for those people there. And it's just, you know, every time something like this happens, it's sort of unimaginable.
Right. It really and truly is. And of course, not so much here, but in other parts of the country, Bernie Sanders, one of them, it has sparked, you know, conversations about global warming. And I'm like, you know, Bernie, do you remember the tornadoes and the hurricanes that hit Galveston back in like 1900? Here in the state of Alabama, we've been in the middle of Tornado Row since the state was founded. And it is interesting how people, you know, first off, you've got tornadoes that are causing global warming. And then you've got, you know, Cuomo from CNN. He's politicizing the cancer diagnosis of Alex Trebek. They'll stoop to anything.
Oh, we have so much to talk to in our two segments, Michael. But are you telling me that before Al Gore created global warming and then climate change, as they call it now, because it's slightly mm-hmm. more tenable, I guess? Are you telling me we used to have blizzards and tornadoes before that?
Oh, and earthquakes and floods and tsunamis. It's amazing, you know. I really love folks when they start, you know, claiming it's either global warming or it's proof positive of the second coming of Christ. As though every time there's an earthquake or a hurricane, that points directly to it. Personally, I think that Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are, you know, more prophetic as far as the second coming of Christ is concerned. But, you know, it is just amazing how political it gets very quickly.
I will buy more into the Book of Revelation than climate change, and I think you will too, because there's just so much. You know,
I
don't think the Lord Jesus is concerned about the earth wasting away. You can just sort of read the Bible for that. But you know what? If people want to politicize environmental change, fine. So Michael, I guess sort of the big thing right now, everyone's in a tizzy about Representative Ilhan Omar. I'm never sure if I'm saying her name right. She's the new freshman congresswoman from Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what her deal is, but it seems like she can't go even a few days without making some kind of anti-Semitic remarks. People may be watching that don't know anti-Semitic means anti-Jewish. Mm-hmm. And you just, in some parts of the country, you don't realize this still goes on. What is she saying? Are we, because we always talk about being too sensitive. Are we being too sensitive to just words, or is she really just out in left field?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, we talked about the Minnesota representative a couple of days ago. And, you know, we broke down anti-Semitism and the history of it because that's what we do on the program. You know, my thought is you cannot understand what's going on in this country today without having a real clear sense of American history.
And we need more people like you telling us that,
well,
Michael, because that's
100%. But, you know, in the case of Omar, it's important to realize something here is that in the Muslim faith, you know, they believe that the Holy Land, Israel, for example, is Muslim territory, and that the state of Israel does not have a biblical, theological, or legitimate reason to even exist. And if you don't understand that, and what goes on with the Palestinians, the Golan Heights, et cetera, you don't realize that much of her beliefs are steeped in the fact that in the Muslim mindset, Jews were tolerated. They actually do believe that Jews were originally Muslims that defected. And it wasn't until Israel was born post-World War II that there was all the friction between the Jews and the Muslim. And then the treaty between Israel and the United States made things considerably worse. This woman is beyond anti-Semitic. She hates the entire Jewish state. And that's a problem, Amy.
It is, because this country, the United States of America, is founded on Judeo-Christian values, period. And if you don't like it and you think that's so bad, why do you come here? And why do you, is she a refugee or a migrant, or I guess both? She came here and then she declared these things. We have a relationship with Israel. And if you believe in the Bible, in the Old Testament, you will know that they are people of the book. And a lot of times when people want to insult Christianity and Jews, they will say, oh, they're people of the book. But we hold it as a badge of honor. So I guess that sort of says everything right there. But it is interesting that some Democrats, whom you might think, well, they're just going to back her either way, are saying, wait, what is going on right now? This is a little too much even for us.
Well, you know, there's this trend in the House of Representatives. And I pointed the fact today that Nancy Pelosi has become quite cowardly. You know, you've got this resolution they voted on yesterday, and it denounces bigotry and hatred and misogyny and xenophobia and misandry and all the other isms that are out there. But it didn't speak directly to Omar. And I think that there's a fear in this country of standing up. You know, it's interesting that Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib, they become minority groups of one. And there's a fear of offending them.
Yet they have so much power and so much say-so and so much, a big microphone from CNN and beyond. It's a lot to figure out, and Nancy Pelosi might be a little befuddled. Michael, we're going to hold you over and talk more about this, along with the border crisis and some other things you've been talking about on your show, Heart of America. Stay tuned.
We go together, better than birds of a feather, you and me.
We're talking to Michael Hart of Heart of America, the author of the great, great book, Unknown America. This is something you want to get and have on your bookshelves, and what a great gift. Michael, we're talking about, Representative Ilhan Omar, all these anti-Semitic remarks going on, for a decade before she even got voted in, which she was sworn in January. In the House Thursday, the House passed a resolution condemning most imaginable forms of hate speech and bigotry, following so many comments from her. They didn't name her. So there were probably some 23 Republicans who wouldn't sign on because they said it was watered down. But I think all the Democrats did sign it.
Mm-hmm.
So what does this even mean? And does it, you know, we have laws that we pass that they don't even take into account. Uranium One, anyone? I love you. I know you love to talk about Uranium One, Michael, and it'll make you throw things. But a resolution like this, who cares? Does it even matter? And is anything going to change with her?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, it doesn't matter. And number two, theologically speaking, it can't change with her. What would it take for you, Amy, to renounce your Christian beliefs?
Never.
And that's essentially
ever.
And that's essentially what we're asking her to do. It's ingrained in her psyche. It was the way that she was raised. And, you know, it is interesting that today is International Woman's Day. Of course, mm-hmm. We should probably change that to Xenophobic Woman's Day and dedicate it to Omar. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that's one of the things that irritates me about the Western ideology is that we don't understand, and we never have been able to, the Middle Eastern ideology. This is ingrained in their theology. She cannot be supportive of Israel, even if she was to kowtow to Netanyahu or whatever the case may be. In her heart, she is still going to maintain anti-Semitic views because her culture and her upbringing demands it. And we simply cannot see this. And then you add in Rashida Tlaib, and I don't know if you know this, but now Alexandria Ocasio is coming out with an email fundraiser to help raise money for her legal defense as well as these other two.
They're the victims. They're the victims. So give us money to help us
absolutely
defend ourselves. It's nuts.
Mm-hmm. Well, it absolutely is. You know, Michael Cohen's also wants to sue the Trump administration to pay his legal fees
as
well.
Michael, I'm going to sue you today for something. I don't know what, but it just seems like the easy right thing to do. So get ready for whatever lawsuit you're going to be suing.
Well, you know, Alabama's a tort state, so you can sue me for being late to this broadcast today, and you'll probably win it because we love us a lawsuit in the Deep South. But at the end of the day, you know, it's the same mindset. It's the same ilk. It's the same, you know, the victimhood, the victimization of what's going on in this country today. And these three, I got to tell you, I said today on air that Rashid needs to go and that Omar needs to go. But please let's not lose Alexandria Cortez because she is instant show prep. Add water, throw in some Alexandria and bang, I got 90 minutes I can do on the air every day.
Michael, I know it is. It is. If I get, if we're too short enabling socialism in America where I can get free stuff, I'll just sue you because why work? We are really suckers, right? We are worrying about people going to the VA trying to get help for these people who have served our country or any other American. But if you could actually, we have people who have said they're going to sneak to Mexico, try to sneak back in as a fake migrant so they can actually get health care. It is ridiculous. It is wrong. And something's got to be done. And Trump has to do something about it. He's done so much, but it has to keep going. So Ocasio-Cortez, she's a victim. She's trying to raise money for all that. So she said today on Twitter that it's sort of a witch hunt and people are coming after her saying, oh, this, that, and the other about her weird campaign finance thing that her and her guy did. However, there are really two FEC complaints filed. So it's not really a conspiracy theory. It's really happening, girlfriend.
Yeah, and what's really funny about it, and we should almost laud Alexandria because she has set a record, to my knowledge, going all the way back to the ratification of the Constitution. I don't think there's ever been a newly elected representative in the history of this nation that had legal trouble within their first 90 days. It took Charlie Rangel several years to pull that one off. And so Alexandria Cortez, she lands in D.C. She gets her apartment, gets the boyfriend on the payroll, starts handing out emails to everybody. Now she's getting sued. She's already going after her Michael Cohen payoff money. Come on, that's good stuff right there, Amy. I mean, this woman needs to be applauded for that amount of success.
She'll probably get some sort of award from someone somewhere. But not only is she being criticized for, oh, you know, whatever her Green Deal is, and everyone should give us the money they make. And when she first got elected, she said, I can't even afford a place in D.C. Well, now she has some luxury high rise. And people are saying, really? Because that's not what you stood for and you said. And then this week, people are saying, okay, her district in New York, where she's supposed to represent, there's this whole conspiracy now that she and her boyfriend or whomever didn't really live there, and the mail's piling up and all these things. So, Michael, I'm just going to ask you outright, is this woman, she was a bartender 2 years ago, is this woman being set up by somebody who just needs a puppet, you know, we'll just say a Manchurian candidate for lack of a better term?
She almost has to be because it's so comical and how short-sighted it is. You got to bear in mind, if she is as not smart, I'm going to be polite, if she is as not smart as we think she is, that would make her more pawn-ish than anybody else out there. Because in order to be a political pawn or a business pawn for somebody, you've got to be a jackaloon. I mean, you've got to be somebody that cannot think for themselves. You know, yesterday she does an interview where, you know, she hates plastic bags. Then she goes to the grocery store and she puts all her food in plastic bags. And then, you know, she comes out and she says that I had to throw away the plastic bags because it's too hard to recycle in this country. If it's too hard to recycle your plastic bags, how in the living heck are we going to do away with fossil fuels and and coal and air travel and cow flatulence in the next 10 years. She can't drive four blocks down the road to the recycling bin, but she's going to completely redesign the economy. This woman is talking out of every orifice that she's got, and they are clashing conversations.
Michael, she says that either the world's going to end in 12 years and we can only go for 10 or vice versa. So I don't even know why she's so upset. And the other thing this week where people criticized her for living where she is and for the fossil fuels that she's using, she said, well, I'm just living in the world we set up. How does she get away with this junk? Are people really believing it?
A lot of them, unfortunately, are. And there are some out there, like the Bookers and Harrises of the world, that simply, you know, they don't want to offend her. Because I'm going to tell you something. I believe this. I believe the rank-and-file Democrats, the Pelosis of the world, I'm talking about in the House, I really do believe they fear her. I really and truly do. And not because of her political acumen or her influence or whatever. I think they see the country moving that far to the left. And the Democrat Party is just falling apart in real time. But the problem really and truly is, and I said this about Barack Obama, he wasn't the problem. He was a symptom. And Ocasio-Cortez is a symptom. And I don't know that you saw this, but you know she's also attacked Barack Obama as recently as today.
Ilhan Omar, you're speaking of, and people were surprised because she attacked Trump. But now Ilhan Omar, the freshman woman from Colorado or from Minnesota, is saying, you know, Barack had these problems too. So you can say, okay, is the enemy of our enemy our friends? If you're on that side of the table, but Michael, what it looks like is she just hates all American policy.
I think all three of them do. Yeah. You know, we're not hearing a lot from Tlaib as we do from Ocasio-Cortez, and as you point out, Omar as well. But the three of them are, you know, they are the three musketeers, the three mouseketeers, or probably really the three stooges. But either way, they are all acting in concert with one another, and they are demonstrative of where the party is going. And the party's becoming anti-Semitic, very hostile to capitalism, hostile to the environment, hostile to the average American voter, hostile to the economy. Who else can they not be hostile to? That's where they want the country to go. And I'm going to tell you, they are living large and having too good of a time for my case.
It'll be interesting to see whether it's just drama or if it's really something we should be scared of. Michael Hart of Heart of America, I always wish we had more time. We'll see you. It's been 24 hours. Time goes really fast, and the time change this weekend. So fast, coming up already. And I guess it's interesting that just an hour change of sleep, or however you want to call it, or however you want to gauge that hour that's, let's see, we spring forward, so we lose it, but we gain more sunlight. So just a little talk about that. We're talking to Dr. John Huber about all of it today. And, you know, people are saying the time change literally kills us. And aside from that, the sort of tandem story with this is one that, once again, they're saying sleeping in on weekends may not repay sleep debt if you're not getting enough during the week. So a lot to talk about. Hey, Dr. Huber, welcome back to America Trends.
Well, thank you, Amy. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to see you. Mainstream Mental Health, that's mainstreammentalhealth.org. He is out of Texas. Besides all his daily duties with privileges in a couple hospitals and forensic this, that, where he testifies everywhere, mental health professional for over 20 years, he runs this organization. So if you can go there and support, or just go there and take part with some of the articles and some of the good things he has to say. Clinical forensic psychologist, Dr. Huber has it all. And I'm looking forward. We've got a couple segments with you this hour, Doc, but you and I have talked in the past year about the issue of ketamine treatments.
Absolutely.
And now there's some new news about the FDA approval of ketamine nasal spray for depression. And I understand it also works on PTSD, smoking and things, but you can update us on what the latest findings
are. I'll clarify that.
Yeah, okay, we will deal with that. But first of all, springing forward for daylight savings time, this really does affect us. Like the following Monday morning, there are always reports of more accidents and things like this.
Right. And it's interesting. It's the day in the fall when we go and we fall back where the next day, actually, we have fewer accidents. Now, that's just from the insurance industry. I mean, there's still accidents going to happen. And just
it's
because
so isn't it fascinating, though, that 1 hour?
And 1 hour is significant if you think about it, because what happens is, you know, most of us really don't get enough sleep. at night anyhow. You know, they say we need 8 hours plus or minus 1 to 2, depending upon everybody's age and things like that. Well, now you're just taking that, you're starting at 7, even if you're going to bed on time to do that. And then now with cell phones and social media and getting on your phone, you know, if you don't use the blue light filters, your brain still keeps running on the higher bandwidth and stuff like that for a lot longer. So okay. It takes you, even if you fall asleep, it takes you longer to rest.
Doc, can you just pause and talk about those blue light filters? Because from what I understand, if you're sleeping somewhere where you're near a microwave or you're in the bedroom where there's a TV flashing or your phone, and any of these blue lights that seem very insignificant, but in reality, they're not significant at all.
They're not. They increase the stimulation of your central nervous system, your brain. And even when you close your eyes, the blue light still can penetrate through your eyelids and keep your brain active. So what we recommend, and most cell phones today use LEDs, and within the phone themselves, there should be a blue light app that can change and change that for you. So you don't need cell phone sunglasses, so to speak. But for your television, for your computer, you know, you can download some apps that'll do it for your computer. I used to use them on my laptop because I used to be up all night working on stuff like that and reports. And, you know, I'm doing it again right now because I've got so much stuff going on at the moment. But I haven't gone on and set it up on this computer at this point. But I know it's harder for me to get quality sleep. You have a sleep monitor on. A lot of us have these Fitbits and these monitors that you can wear. And it's interesting. I can see when I've spent a lot of time on my computer at night how I'm not going into REM sleep, which is the type of sleep that allows us actually to feel most rested. And when we're really exhausted, we do what's called REM rebound, REM rebound, and we get a lot more REM sleep than we typically normally do. So it's important to make sure we get that REM sleep, and you can suppress that with not having those filters on or not wearing blue light sunglasses. And believe it or not, yes, again, our friend alcohol can mess with that and keep you from going into REM sleep.
Oh, that's a whole other segment, Doc. But but so we always hear these things about try not to be on your phone or computer at least an hour before you go to bed. But also, and it seems like when we're rushing around doing our day-to-day stuff and you just lay down and go to bed, you've got, okay, so you might have the alarm clock, the TV, the DVR associated with the TV, your phone, even a sound machine, all these lights, a spouse's alarm. And does it help to just put on a mask?
Well, you can put on a mask. What we do is we actually get some black electrical tape and just put over all the little LEDs on all the little things. You know, we have our Wi-Fi servers in our bedroom. And there's
every night, though?
Well, you just leave it on. I mean, you know it's on. If your Wi-Fi doesn't work, then it's turned off. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but there's a switch on the back of our new router, and it just actually turns the lights off for you, so you can just turn it off. So, yeah, just put a piece of tape over it, electrical tape, something that's dark and thick. You know, Scotch tape won't work. And, you know, if you need to, if you don't have anything like electrical tape, fold a piece of paper over 3 or 4 times and, you know, just tape it over that light. And you'll be surprised how much better you do sleep through the night. And, you know, you're not tossing and turning all night trying to figure out what's going on all the time.
I think that's something for really people to take to heart, because even myself, when I lay down, I'm like, should I grab the mask? I'm sure it'll be fine. But you know what? It never is. Those lights really do affect you. And so if people can take the time to take that tape, as you say, and do it, I think people should listen to Dr. Huber, as always. And Doc, how many people are affected by lack of or just not right sleep?
I think just about everybody, because
right.
Even people who say they get enough sleep may not be sleeping well. They may be, you know, they may have sleep apnea and they're not getting a good quality sleep. Little kids, it's crazy how, you know, making sure that they get enough sleep, it's amazing how their life changes in an academic setting. And what we have to realize, if we're not getting enough sleep, we have about a 2-week window to quote unquote get caught up. Anything beyond 2 weeks, you're not going to make an improvement on, and the damage will have been done to your physiology and your sanity, so to speak. So one of the things you can do, like come Monday morning after we change and we spring forward, we're going to lose that hour of sleep. My recommendation is Sunday, try to take a nap in the middle of the day, just a half hour, 20 minutes, and then try and do that a couple of times during the week when you get home from work, maybe right before you do dinner or right after dinner, and you'll get caught up pretty well. You don't have to go through and, oh, I got to go to bed 3 hours early and make sure all this stuff. Now, just little cat naps are amazing. And what part of that reasoning is because you want to take a short nap and get up before you fall into the really deep cycles of sleep. Because then when you wake up in the deep cycles of sleep, you don't feel rested, even if you really have been in a good state of sleep. So you want to fall, and we fall in a 90-minute cycle. So you want to wake up within that first 45 minutes, or you want to do it in 115 minutes instead of 90 minutes.
Doc, you know it's funny. If you really stop and think, we're all busy with our lives, our careers, our kids, our families, our hobbies, our charities. But if you think about it, we're also worried about our health, our looks, people spend money on Botox, exercise, all these things. If you pay attention to sleep and things like, you know, having enough water, that goes so far and to precluding anything you have to do otherwise, because it helps your health overall.
It absolutely does. And, you know, you talk about we're worried about our friends, our kids, our family. You know, nobody's going to take care of you but you. So you need to take that into consideration, because if you don't take care of you, you'll never be able to help any of the people around you.
Yeah, if you're in the plane and it starts going down, they tell you to put your oxygen mask on first, because if you're gone, you can't help the people around you. And that's just the easiest analogy there is. Dr. Huber, we're going to have you right back. Maybe chat a bit more if you have any tips, but also FDA approval of ketamine, how it could help everybody. Back on America Trends. I've had a great hour with Michael Hart of the Heart of America show with the political headlines of the day. This is always something, right? And also Dr. John Huber of Mainstream Mental Health, mainstreammentalhealth.org. This is out of Texas. And he's a chairman. It's a nonprofit, brings lasting positive change to the lives of individuals that suffer from mental health issues. And it's not a label. It's not anything bad. It's something that can help all of us. Dr. Huber has been in the profession for over 20 years. He's a clinical forensic psychologist, practices at two long-term acute health care hospitals. And Doc, easy things, drinking enough water, getting enough sleep, and that's such an issue as we talk about things like the time change this weekend and also how you cannot make up for a sleep deficit on the weekend. It might make you feel like you can, but it's not necessarily true. Before we turn to all the interesting new things about ketamine, that you're always bringing us this news, any last-minute tips about sleep and how we can just do better, because we really all need to?
Well, especially on this time change, I recommend drinking as little as possible or not drinking at all. Alcohol. Don't drink as much alcohol.
Hey, just as a question really quick. How late should we drink caffeine in the day? When should we stop?
You know, I'll be honest with you. Caffeine sometimes has an opposite effect to me. And there are nights when I can't sleep and I'll go make a pot of coffee and have a cup of coffee.
Just odd. I can't.
But it works. It works for me. I mean, not every time, but when nothing else seems to work, it's amazing, because what it does is it changes your blood flow.
Really?
And it can be calming to, you know, if you've been stressed out and things like that.
Boy, you're sort of a superhero. So just to reiterate, though, try not to drink alcohol, the caffeine. You said try to take a nap. The time changes. We spring forward Sunday morning at like 2 a.m. or whatever.
Right.
And you say do try to take a nap.
Definitely try to take a nap. Naps are good for us. But don't do a long nap. I mean, we want you to do it less than 30 minutes. And if you can't, you know, 45 minutes, if you count the 5 to 10 minutes it takes for you to fall asleep. And if you're going to do it longer than that, you need to do it for over 110 minutes to make sure you're waking up again in either stage one or stage two sleep instead of three or four. Three or four, you wake up in that stage, you do not feel rested, even if you've gotten 20 hours of sleep.
Isn't that funny how it works? You almost have to be an expert, because it really does matter. Okay, Doc, we've got over 5 minutes, and I'm really happy about that, because over the past few months, almost year, you have been talking to us about what's going on in the front lines of ketamine treatment.
Right. We use ketamine in my practice, exactly.
Sure, and there's a new nasal spray, and we're talking about FDA approval, but if you could just go back, explain just what ketamine is and why it's so, so very important and all the people it's treating.
Okay. Well, ketamine is actually the government in the late 60s, early 70s was trying to find a way to make a synthetic opiate. And they ended up making this wonderful drug that, that had great properties, but it had some bad side effects too. And that drug was PCP. And they said, well, there's, let's see if we can break that drug, that molecule up and just take away the good properties of it. And one of the things that they came back with was ketamine. And ketamine has a very short half-life. It's between 10 and 15 minutes long. So when they administered ketamine, most people are no longer under the effects of it within about 30 minutes, 35 minutes max. Some people as short as 20 minutes. And what that does is if they give that correctly in what they call a bolus, it allows them to actually make somebody sleep for that 20 to 35 minutes. And they can proceed with surgical procedures quickly that way. Now, what happened was instantly the veterinarian world got a hold of it because you get large animals, cows, horses, elephants, rhinos, that kind of stuff. And they're so big, if you give them general anesthesia to do surgery, and then you give them the antidote after the surgery, they end up suffocating under their own weight because it takes so long for that antidote to work. Well, with ketamine, they can give them one shot in the bolus and they go to sleep and they wake up in 30 minutes and they start breathing on their own and they don't suffocate to death. So it has some very good properties that we actually utilize with kids, for example. We can give it to kids, do minor surgery, and they can go home that day as opposed to if they get a general anesthesia. Standard care is they typically stay overnight. And you know how little kids are. They don't want to be away from mom and dad and home and that kind of thing. So it works out better for them. And it's an extremely safe drug. Unfortunately, because veterinary medicine got into it back in the 70s, they didn't have the laws about how to secure stuff like they do today. And it became a street drug because they would break into veterinarians' trucks and they would take the medications and just use it, you know, I mean, and whatever happened, happened, and it became very popular as Special K. And so a lot of regular practitioners became very fearful of ketamine with this belief that it is somehow only a street drug. And what happens is we use it in our practice and we have the option. We have a compounding pharmacy who makes the ketamine for us, for our patients, and they can use the nasal spray. The nasal spray, unfortunately, for most of my patients, I don't have anybody who can tolerate it because it burns their inner nose.
Oh, really?
So we have dissolving, quick dissolving tabs and stuff like that that we use for microdosing. But what we do in therapy at Clarisana, K-L-A-R-I-A-N-A, and Clarisana Recovery, which I'm associated with, is we go in and we give them the ketamine through an IV, intramuscular, and we administer it over a minimum of an hour, sometimes up to 2 hours. And as they go through the different stages of the effects of the ketamine, they become open to suggestion through therapy.
Okay, so Doc, can we just go back? Because is this open to suggestion to help PTSD, alcoholism, which nothing has helped before, and things like stopping smoking? This is that all, that whole realm, right?
The whole realm. And what happened was I was involved in a court case several years ago, and we were looking for an alternative. We had an older gentleman, and the judge was ready to put him in jail, and he'd never been in jail before, and otherwise, you know, it would have been very devastating to him at his age because he was having problems with substance, alcohol in primary. And so I started doing my research and looking around, and I found some research out there. It was kind of vague, so I reached out to the author, and Dr. Carl Bonnet is the person who I got a hold of and who I work with now. And he's a ketamine physician, emergency room physician, who did lots of research and data collection for the Veterans Administration. So we have like 12 years, 17 years of data.
And you got involved, didn't even try it yourself. But where does it stand with FDA approval?
Well, we're using
it off-label.
About 10
seconds, Doc, sorry.
Yeah, we use it off-label, but the nasal spray is on-label for depression as a supplement to antidepressants. So you have to be on antidepressants, and you have to go into the doctor's office to get it at roughly $500 to $600 a dose.
MainstreamMentalHealth.org is where you can find Dr. Huber. I know it's a miracle, so you can really help people. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. This is it. We'll be right back. We never take Hal for granted. How blessed we are to have you here for the U2 America Network and on Biz Talk Radio for America Trends for the Hour. I'm Amy Fuller. Glad you're with us. Check us out on social media on our website, U2America.com. Right there, you can click right through and find us on social media and on Biz Talk Radio. So we're glad to have you. And we're also pleased that we could join with Michael Hart of Heart of America and the author of Unknown America to talk about some of the political headlines of the day. Is Michael Hart fun? Boy, follow him on social media and talk back to us on Twitter if you like Michael, because I mean, he's just so much fun. Oh, you know, we didn't get him to throw anything tonight. He always throws things. Then Dr. Huber was here to talk about the time change this weekend and sleep deprivation and ketamine treatments that can help so many people, and it's just such a blessing. Finally tonight, this is something so fun for Flashback Friday. Hillary Clinton declared this week she will not run for 2020. So, as a flashback vid for you, we always love to have an excuse. Our friends from Bad Lip Reading got a hold of some of her video, and it's just some of the funnest video we've ever seen, and we're going to leave you with some. Hope it leaves you with a smile.
Hillary Stories.
I'm ready for breadsticks. A while back, Bill and I went to the store, and we bought some locusts. They were in a bag, and the girl who worked there tried to open the locust near Bill. And I heard Bill crying and figured out he's really scared of locusts, as you'd hope. And he cried and shivered and drooled all over the table. And then when he had moved forward, I did that prank where I scratched his vein open. And I remember he just bled so good. Now, he farted intermittently on the way home, but that was kind of his thing, so. So there I was, just this popular blonde, and there was a fork in my britches. Because I put it there, all right? Because I was always like, what if I couldn't find a fork? And everybody that I knew about it, and half the time they'd be staring at me. And I was like, this is great. And then eventually I just didn't put it in there anymore. Because, you know, I was told that when you get a spoon pocket, you are an amazing person. And a spoon actually is better to carry. Last night I got on Tinder, and then I got a dork who looked like a grandpa. You know, with his old face. And it was like his head shot. So I wanted to be all like, hey, grandpa, you look funny. Is your mother a Shanghai gremlin? It's just too much, you see, because she's not one. But I mean, it has to be said. That joke was much better in my head. Back in the 70s, I got in a little scrape because I was dancing for the bucks, and all these Persian men offered me punch. And to me, I was like, what are you doing? You're crazy. They're so nice. And so off we go. So I get down there right at the border, and the Peruvian troops swoop in. And now I'm thinking, I guess this is the end, because baby, we were in the war zone, and I mean, it's not safe. And I mean, I began clawing the men who attacked me. And so then we made it to the watchman's house, and his name was Kaloda. And all of us took a pill and got in this fountain, and what do you mean it's time for a show? And then literally it was like I owned a group of men who are now teeny weeny. It's like it's as if they're kids and they're in the rainforest. And Kaloda, he asked me if I could project chicken feathers.